Numbers, the 12th chapter, and verse 1. Here's another one, brother. Numbers chapter 12 and verse 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Has he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. You see, the Ethiopian woman wasn't the problem. The problem with Miriam and Aaron is that God speaks to them through Moses, and they hate that. You hate the fact that God speaks to you through me. Because you see, if God will only speak through you, then you could filter out all that you don't want, and then you could please you. But you see, they were mad because Miriam and Aaron were mad because God had the nerve to speak through Moses. And it is obvious that everything that Moses was saying was against Miriam and Aaron, wasn't it? That's the way it always is. You think God brought you here to lick your head? So if I'm here to speak against Miriam and Aaron, doesn't it follow logically that Miriam and Aaron would like to return the favor? And that's why you sit there, some of you, some of the time, and some of you all of the time, and all of you, most of the time, and none of you, none of the time, speaking against Moses. But you see, for you to see how this really works, you need to understand that when you're speaking against me, the one whose God is speaking to you through, then see, the Moses in me is speaking to the Moses in you. And it's when the Moses in you says he's right, that's when the Miriam and the Aaron in you gets mad at the Moses in you, and then they get mad at me. But you see, the battle is really in you. You have a Miriam, you have an Aaron, and you have a Moses. And they all have a home, by the way. One lives in the body, one lives in the spirit, and one lives in the soul. Miriam is your flesh, the rebel. Aaron is your spirit, the one, the godly one, the one who speaks good things. Does whatever whoever's around him. See, Aaron goes with anybody. He'll make something good out of whatever's happening. You want a golden calf? We get a golden calf. You want plagues? We get plagues. You want quail? We get quail. He didn't care what you want. He'll make it right so he can be your friend. He's a wimp, in other words. And then there's the other part of you, the Moses. That's the soul, the rational mind, the part that Jesus saved that knows what's right. But somehow or another, he's always outvoted. See, Miriam never wants to do right. Moses always wants to do right. And Aaron can go either way. Now, Aaron being the spirit, that's what you speak. So you see, I don't care how much you want to do right, as long as you're talking wrong, you're a liar. You're talking lies. So what's happening is Aaron is voting with Miriam, and they're speaking against Moses. So the minute you sit and say, I know that's wrong, but what the heck? What are we going to do? I shouldn't do that, but I want to. Miriam's saying, go ahead. Moses is saying, don't do it. And you're sitting there thinking, waiting for Aaron to vote. And then you open your big mouth and say, God will forgive me. Let's go for it. Aaron just voted with Miriam. And you're off to the races. Set back again. Wilderness journey 1 week longer now, because now you got to wait till you come back to church again to get another load, so we can go through the stupidity all over again, so you can tell Miriam, Aaron, that you're going to go with her. See, Moses is as smart as he's ever going to get. You already know that what you're doing is wrong. And your body already agrees that what you're doing is wrong, but he wants to do it anyway. All it's waiting is for the election returns, Super Tuesday, waiting for the vote. Waiting for Aaron to speak either against Miriam or against against Moses. And in this case, unfortunately, Aaron speaks against Moses. And when that happens, you've got this battle that's raging in you. Now, just to show you that it isn't only Old Testament, keep your finger right where you're at and turn to Romans, the 7th chapter. And I'm going to share with you and show you the battle that's going on inside of you. Romans, the 7th chapter, verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. You show me what makes you upset about your husband, your wife, your children, about me, and that's what you're doing. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. Everything I want to do, I don't do. But what I hate, that do I. See, that's the do I. It becomes do-do later on, but right now it's do I. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. See, you're already in agreement with me. When I tell you the things that you're doing is what you're judging other people for, you already know. And when I tell you you ought to do that, you already know that too. And when I say that's really not what you want to do, that you're doing, you already know that too. You already hate it. Verse 16 then says, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. In other words, I agree with God, it's good. The law is good, the word is good. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. But I still do what I allow not. I still don't do what I want to do, and the things that I hate, that's what I do. But praise the Lord, I'm a Christian, pass the ammunition, hallelujah. Verse 17, now, if this is the case, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Something inside of you that lives in you is making you do this. And it isn't the devil, it's you. Because you see, it dwelleth in you. Romans 7:18, the next verse, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, and flesh means the carnal mind, the emotional mind, your anger, your temptations, all these emotional feelings. For I know that in me, that is in my emotions, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. I'd love to do right, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. So you can sit there and tell me all you want how much you agree with the word. We can sit in council and you tell me how much you're confessing and how much you want to do right, but you lack one thing. How? And I know you don't want to, because the minute I start telling you how, you get upset. Verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. And then he caps it off in verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? In other words, what Paul is saying here, you have to be delivered from yourself. You have to be saved from you. Saving you from the devil was easy. You came to the altar and you snotted a little bit and acted foolish. And I'm not saying the salvation is foolish. But you see, it's easy when people say, you don't have to, God loves you just the way you are. Come on. Come on down. Give you a microwave or a VCR of your choice. Come on down. Just see me first. What's it going to cost you? Nothing. Just say some words and accept Jesus Christ as Savior and confess your sins. Repent. Oh, that's easy. You come down and you get salvation. Saved from hell, saved from the devil. And then the Lord says, now they're yours. You deal with them. Well, what's now? Save them from themselves. Now all of a sudden, we have a horse of a different color. Now all of a sudden, knowing that you have to be saved and delivered from yourself, Because you see, God transferred the power that Satan had and he gave it to you. Now, when he died on the cross, it wasn't to put you in hell. It was to save you from hell. It wasn't to defeat you. It was to give you victory. It wasn't to take away your power. It was to give it. So see, there was a transference of power from Satan to you. Now, what do you think would happen if God would allow, and God forbid, the Satan to come in and sit in those pews and me try to convince him to be saved? Well, that's the problem that I have multiplied several times over here. You have the power from God himself, and now I have to show you how to be delivered from you. You see, knowing what's wrong isn't enough. You already knew that. Knowing what's right isn't enough. You already knew that too. Knowing how is what makes you upset. Because you see, as long as you know what's wrong, you're one-third a Christian. As long as you know what's right, you're two-thirds a Christian, acting like one. But knowing how gives you the ability to do it, and that's what you don't want to do. Why? Because the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. So you see, I've become your enemy. The truth becomes your enemy. Because it takes away, and no longer can you say, the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. See, you've already been delivered from yourself, and you don't want that to happen. You want to continue to hang on to the 7th chapter of Romans and tell God how much you love him and how much you can't do a thing about it. So you see, I'm going to tell you this morning how to be delivered from yourself. I don't know how far we'll get in the message, but I trust that by this evening, we're going to find out how to kill and bury Miriam. See, Miriam dying isn't enough. It happens every Sunday and every Wednesday. But even as I hear you walking out, mouth to mouth, man, you're reviving that sucker. But Miriam, baby, come on back. And you do have the power of resurrection, by the way. Don't you understand that God gave you power? And you have the power to resurrect whatever you want resurrected? So you see, God wants you to understand the condition that we're in and what to do about it. Now let's go back and find out what we're dealing with. Who are these people who live inside of us? Numbers 12:1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses. That was really the whole difficulty in this wilderness journey trek. And that was that every time Miriam or the spirit of Miriam and people spoke, Aaron went with them. Whoever's talking, that's who Aaron goes with. You go to work and they start talking a certain way and you go with them, Aaron. Don't tell me you don't, because you do. You get home and the kids are rowdy and your wife is rowdy and Aaron goes along with it and he gets rowdy too. See, Aaron is a pitiful creature. Miriam might have some compassion. I can shoot her between the eyes without even blinking because she's no good. There's nothing good about Miriam. She's a rebel. But Aaron, what a poor guy. Such a sweet man. Depending on who he's around. Put him with Gaddafi for 5 minutes and he'll become a terrorist. Put him with Mother Teresa for 5 minutes and he'll be licking your leprosy if he has to. He'll go along with anything. And yes, that's what we do. That's exactly what you do. Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses. Now let's deal with the first one, Miriam. Miriam means bitter and rebellious. The bitterness in you and the rebellion, the desire to rebel, will always speak against Moses. It has no authority unless it can get the swing vote. See, up to this time, Aaron has been speaking and agreeing with Moses. See, Moses heard from the Lord, spoke to Aaron, and Aaron said, let's do it. But now Aaron is listening to Miriam. And this Miriam spirit is spreading through all out the congregation. Bitter rebellion. It means to resist and to rebel and to be disobedient and also to provoke. But you see, you can see and recognize the Miriam in you. Miriam, the first thing she'll do is show her bitterness. Bitter means causing or showing sorrow, discomfort, or pain. This hurts, that hurts. This is wrong, that's wrong. Always something wrong. That's bitterness. Now, what am I telling you? I am telling you that being bitter and rebellious is going to make you sick. And it's going to give you pains in places you didn't know you had places. And then Miriam calls me and says, will you agree with this? And I say, no. See, it wants someone to agree with it. It'll do whatever it can. Somebody agree with me. It hurts. No, it's rebellion. If you would obey the word of God and speak right, you're speaking, Aaron. That's Aaron calling me. See, Miriam is such a jerk, she can't even do her own dirty work. You call Moses, Aaron, and tell him it hurts. Well, see, you've already voted. Your Aaron has already voted. You're agreeing with it. Now, I don't know a lot of doctors. In fact, I don't know any doctors personally, thank God. But have you ever gone to the doctor and they'll say this sentence three times and believe this and call me in the morning? No. They're going to agree with you and say, you're sick, you're wrong. Here's some medicine. Here's some chemicals. But you see, Aaron, the right side of you, is going to say, what made you sick is talking wrong, so what's going to make you well is talking right. See, because the other side, Moses, means to be saved and delivered and to be healthy and to be whole and complete and proper. So you see, Aaron can only speak what he hears from one side or the other. And when Aaron speaks, you can tell who he's listening to by what he's saying. And that's what you get. Miriam always causes and shows sorrow, discomfort, and pain. It also means to be sharp and disagreeable, harsh, characterized by strong feelings of resentment and hatred. Call it grouchy, call it temperament, call it whatever you want. I'll call it what it is. It's Miriam. There's a woman inside of you causing you to feel that way, but it didn't happen until the Aaron, the spirit in you, spoke that, and you said, I'm grouchy, I'm mad, I'm angry, I'm this, I'm that. You just spoke it, and now you are. So she's bitter. It's a bitter person. These are characteristics of the Miriam. She's also a rebel. And a rebel is a person who resists any authority or controls. Remember, to rebel means to wage the war again. You quit last week, you quit the week before, you quit the month before that, you quit the month before that, and you're going to start it next week. You keep fighting the same war over and over and over. That makes you a rebel. Now, am I saying you're wrong? Yes. Of course I am. See, what the Lord is really saying is if you quit once, why are you quitting again? Because you started again. Now, if God could help you quit once, and you needed help to quit, then you must have needed help to start again. Now, I suspect it wasn't God that helped you start again. Who was it? Well, it depends on which one Miriam or which one Aaron votes with. So see, the rebel is constantly fighting the same battle over and over again. And incidentally, every time they win the battle, they'll come and give you all kinds of glowing testimonies about this glorious battle they won. And I'm saying, oh, now here it comes. It's the seventh inning stretch. There's an eighth inning and a ninth inning. And then it goes into overtime because you keep fighting the same battle over and over again. Why don't you just shut up and win it and do away with it? And speak right. No, you got to fight the same battle over again. As a matter of fact, I get a little upset at churches where people come and they keep telling you over and over, testimony after testimony after testimony. If you keep a tablet on it, they ain't quitting nothing. Those are attention getters. And everybody praises the Lord, but they forget something. You've been this way before. I'm not going to praise a rebel. I'll call it what it is. You're a rebel. You're fighting the same war again. And why do you fight the same war over and over again? Because you resist. Resist, again, remember, means to be set back. Re means back, and sister, the last part of resist, means to set. So you see, every time you resist, you get set back. And how do you get set back? The Aaron in you and the Miriam in you agree. Miriam can't speak. And what did Moses say? I am slow of speech. I can't talk. So what did God say? Well, I'll give you someone to do your talking for you. And Miriam said, someone that God has ordained to do the speaking for Moses. I think I'll get in on that action. See, God never intended for Aaron to do Miriam's speaking. God never intended for the spirit in you to speak what your flesh thinks and what your flesh wants and what your carnal nature and your emotion and your anger and your hatred. He never gave you a spirit to be the spokesman for that side of you, but that's what you use it for. God gave you Aaron to speak for Moses. And Moses, God says, I'll speak directly to Moses. And then Aaron, you speak what Moses says to the people. See, people don't like it that way. But that's the way it is in you. God did not give you the ability to speak so that you can speak all the hatred and the anger and the criticism and the judgment that you do to one another. Beginning with yourselves, of course. God didn't give it to you for that reason. But here's what's happening here. It is the devil having no power, the wrong side of you having no ability to speak, taking advantage of what God gave you for your benefit to use it for your hurt. So you start speaking against yourself. Won't be too long before you're speaking against everybody, because that is the nature of this individual. She resists. Resist means to oppose and to stand against, to fight and argue and to work against. It means to refuse to cooperate and to refuse to submit. That's what you're dealing with. That's the wrong side of you. Now, every Christian that I know is trying to turn Miriam into something sweet that loves the Lord. No way. It's never going to happen. You don't have to turn there, but we just read. Paul said, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Miriam is no good. Now, in Romans 8:7, and you don't need to turn there, he tells you, you might as well forget trying to convince Miriam. Because 8:7 says, because the carnal mind, the emotion, the wrong side of you, the Miriam, is enmity against God. Miriam hates God. Your carnal flesh, your emotion, your anger, your hatred hates God. Your feelings hate God. It says, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Never, never, never is your emotional side, your feelings, ever going to be in subjection to the law of God. Never. But you keep trying to find a way to make Miriam happy with God. It's not going to work. Never has, never will. 7-Up has never had cola, never will. And Miriam has never had peace with God. She's at enmity against God. You know, that's a frightening thing when you stop to think that God said, there's a part of you that hates me with the passion. But it can't do anything unless you do its talking. For by your words, you shall be justified, and by your words, you shall be condemned. It's a frightening thing to know that there's a part of you that wants to kill you. It hates God and everything that you have. It hates the other side of you with a passion, and it wants to kill. And for people to come to grips with that, and for me to understand and accept, a part of me hates God. A part of me hates this. And then I'm going to take a chance and speak that on top of that? And make the vote 2-1? You think I'm crazy? Well, I think you are. I hear you. I hear you saying, I don't want to do that. I don't like that. That doesn't make me feel good. I'm worried about that. That's Aaron speaking what Miriam has to say. And what's really happened is you're giving the bitter rebel the vote that she needs to win the election that day. Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses. Your emotions, your strong feelings, your resentment, your hatred, your anger, your sorrow, your discomfort, your pain, your excitement, all speak against Moses if they can talk Aaron into it. Other than that, they only make sign languages. And faith does not come by signs. It comes by hearing. So you see, as long as you don't speak it, you can't hear it. And if you can't hear it, you can't have faith in it. But if you say it hurts and I can't, you heard it. And what you heard is what you're going to have faith in. And once you have faith in it and believe it, it's around the corner. In fact, it's in your back pocket. You need to understand who you're dealing with here. Well, you say, well, okay, I understand that, but then there's the Aaron in me, the spirit side of me. That side of me loves God. Yes, he does. Aaron loves God. Aaron loves everybody. Aaron loves to be loved. Aaron loves love. Aaron loves to be loved and loves love. Aaron is a lover. He's also the brother of Moses. And incidentally, if Miriam is the sister of Aaron, then she's also the sister of Moses. So it's one big happy family, isn't it? It's a group of familiar spirits, isn't it? It's always in the family, isn't it? Even back then, God said, look, here's the problem is it's in your own family. So now let's deal with Moses, or rather with Aaron. First of all, the word Aaron means the brother of Moses, the Levite. See, Aaron is a Levite. Now, I suspect that sitting in this room, I have a strong inclination that sitting in this room, we have some Levites. Now, I sat in my room for a whole week, and God said, stand up, Levite. I get a lot of temptations. I get a lot of pressure to become a Levite. Levite means a descendant of Levi, but here's the important key word. It means to be attached. See, Aaron's problem, he's attached to everything. Emotionally attached. So when he's in church, he can sing and praise and jump and holler with the best of them. He attaches easy. But when he's out there, it's just as easy. He'll attach to everything. He needs to be attached. Why? Because that's the environment that he came from at home. Always attached. Now, how do we get attached? How do we get this Aaron Levite mentality? Attached, or Levi, or Levite means to lend as a form of obligation. But it also means to borrow. See, it begins, the obligation means to borrow as obligation, as a form of obligation, and to lend as a form of obligation. So what's happening? Ever since you were a child, people were giving you things, supposedly, but you were really only borrowing them, weren't you? She never gave you the best years of your life. She loaned them to you because now she's trying to get the best years of yours. She didn't give you a thing. Miriam never gives anything. She does lend as a form of obligation. And once you become fully grown, she'll spend the rest of her life and yours trying to collect. It's obligation that's killing you. That's what makes you the Aaron. You feel obligated, but you need to understand how. You see, that's why God said, neither a borrower nor a lender be. Give. Why? Because it creates obligation. Levite also means a borrower or a lender. Nothing about a giver. See, the lender always lends with profit in mind. If he's not charging you interest, there'll come a time when he'll ask you for a favor that isn't really a favor. You owe him something. Why? Because he loaned you something. That's how we get attached to each other. Borrowing and lending. Getting attached. Getting under obligation. Well, how can you tell if you're a Levite? Well, you are living under obligation. Obligation comes from the word obligate. But the word obligation means a binding contract. And that's why when you get around those people that you're attached to, you feel stress and tension. And when they ask for something they're not really asking, they have a contract in their back pocket. You have agreed to that. They have a bind against you. It's a binding obligation. A binding promise. Obligation also means an imposed duty. See, you come to church here and you don't have to do any of this. You're perfectly free to say yes, no, maybe, wait, stick it in your ear, whatever you want. But out there, you try that with the people you're obligated to. And they'll say, how could you do this to me? Oh, I've labored and I gave you life. I carried you in my body. Lady, that's the last thing you were thinking about at the time that child was conceived. You were thinking about your own gratification, and so were you, Pop. Don't give me that routine. Now, this child came along, and all of a sudden, you've got someone to play this pious, sanctimonious game with. David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. Obligation also means the condition of being indebted to another for a favor or a service rendered. Now, how can you be indebted if it's a favor? See, that's why I'm trying to tell you, you don't owe God anything. You know that? God's not lending. He didn't lend you anything. He gave you salvation. He gave you blessings, and you're trying to pay for them. Now, the individual who's under obligation is one who is obligated. And to obligate means to bind by a contract, by a promise, or a sense of duty. So anything you're bound to is not of God. You're attached, and it's wrong attachment. Now, how do people get obligated? How does the obligated person under obligation act? Oh, they're very obliging. Obligation, obligate, oblige. Obliging means helpful and courteous and accommodating. But it doesn't matter who they're talking to. If they're talking to a Jehovah's Witness, they'll find good in that. If they're talking to Hare Krishna, they'll find good in that. They're for everything and everybody. They're such helpful, courteous, and accommodating people. But that's their problem. They're emotionally attached. They haven't cut it from mom and dad. And they're walking around with the suction things all over them. And everywhere they go, it doesn't matter who they're on, they'll attach in a minute. Barnacles, parasites, don't have a thought of your own. You've got to be ashamed of yourself. You can't make a decision for yourself. You won't make a decision. Whoever you're close to, you just plug into that. And that's what you become until you get close to someone else, and then you plug into that. Don't have a thought of your own. You think you know what you're doing. You think you're well-liked. You think you're doing service to God, and all you're doing is serving yourself because you need to please people. You know what accommodating means, which is where we get the word obliging? Willing to please. The accommodating individual is willing to please. And they make no distinctions. They're just willing to please. And please means to be agreeable to. They're willing to be agreeable to whatever. It also means to give pleasure to satisfy, to be gentle and mild and smooth. You see, this errant spirit that you have And people say, well, how can you speak so bluntly? It's easy. It's very, very simple. I don't care how you feel. I have no desire to please you. And some would say, oh my God, is that a Christian attitude? Well, listen, let me tell you something. If you were an alcoholic, God forbid, and they sent you to the alcoholic ward, what would you think of the doctor that say, bring in the whiskey. Let's please these people. There's something wrong with them. They're alcoholics. Let's give them what they want. You say, what kind of a doctor and what kind of hospital is that? No, what they do is they withhold what's wrong and tell them what's wrong and give them what's right. That's where you're there to be healed. Well, why do you come to this hospital? Sick. Mentally ill. This is an asylum. You want me to agree with you? And to feed your alcoholism? You're crazy. And because you're crazy, you think I am. No. You're crazy. You're mentally ill. Aaron needs to satisfy. And satisfying need means to fulfill the needs, the expectations, the wishes, or the desires of someone else. I wish I could tell you that it stops there, but it doesn't. As long as you have a need to fulfill the needs, the expectations, the wishes, or the desires of someone else, it won't be long before you can add or take away the else, and that someone will be you. And what is it? What is wrong here? Aaron has a need to fulfill the needs, the expectations, the wishes, and the desires of himself. And that's why you can't say no to anything. As long as there's a need, an expectation, a wish, a desire, you have a desire to fulfill that, to satisfy it. So see, you can't depend on Aaron. The only time that Aaron ever speaks right is when he repeats what Moses said. And the only time Moses says what's right is when he repeats what God said. So that's why I'm here, to repeat what God said. I do not have an original thought of my own. I have no concepts. I have no idea what to do. I can only stand here and repeat what I'm reading. That's all I can do. So the Moses in me can only repeat what God said. Now it's the Aaron in me that's now speaking and giving it voice and word and articulation. And that's all I can do. Now we have to reverse the process. And the Moses in you has to hear it. Then the Aaron in you has to speak it. Or you can turn it off and listen to Miriam. The choice is yours. And I'll be very frankly, I don't really care one way or the other. Why? Because I'm not attached to you. And I have no desire to please you. I have no desire to be agreeable with you. And why? Because I know how your life is. And how do I know that? Because I lived it. And every now and then, as I skate around, I slip back into it again. I'm not above it. Nobody is. So you see, Aaron has a need to fulfill the expectations, the desires, and the wishes of everyone and anyone. He's the most unstable individual of all. At least with Miriam, you know what to expect. No, I don't want to do it. Yes, I want to do what's right. I'll give her that much credit. At least I know what to expect of her. But you sickening, whimpering Aaron, you'll sit in my face and agree with everything God says. You'll turn right around and agree with someone else as you're walking out the door. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. And how does this all happen? The problem is, he's attached. This is the killer. This is the one that will cause you to have a need to fulfill the needs of everyone. You're attached. And listen, it's automatic. You ladies know what I'm talking about. When you carried that child inside of you, you were attached. It was automatic. What you eat, the child eats. What you drink, the child drinks. Whatever feelings you have, the child has. Whatever you smoke, the child smokes. It's automatic. You can't stop it. You can't say, well, let's put a clothespin on it here because I don't want my child to have this nicotine or this alcohol or this temper. You can't help it. It's automatic. So whatever you're attached to, that's what you become. Now, to begin with, when you were first conceived, you were attached by a physical cord. And we'll find out later on, you know what cord means? It means a line. And you know what a line is? A line is something with a leader, a sinker, and a hook in which you put bait on, your favorite food. That's your cord. But you see, as a child, you had an umbilical cord. Now you came out and the doctor had the good sense to cut that thing off and tie it in a knot. And Miriam says, what am I going to do now? Got to reconnect this somehow. Well, if you look up the word attached, it means to connect by ties of affection. Whatever has your affection will affect you. So you see, when your child is sitting in the corner crying about the punishment you've given, and you're suffering worse than a child, I could trip over the cord. It's that visible. You're connected by ties of affection. And that's what's making the Aaron in you, and the Aaron is that way. It's always connected. Now here's the problem, Aaron. God said, I am agape love. Now you try, and the section doesn't work, does it? Why? Because it has to come here. Faith cometh by hearing, not by suction. When you go home, take a look at your vacuum cleaner. That's a perfect example of an Aaron. And you can always tell where Aaron's been. Just open up the bag. And tonight I'm going to show you how we open up the bag and let the air out. So see, this attachment by ties of affection is what's giving you the desire to please and to satisfy and to gratify whatever you have affection for. And as long as you're bound and determined to think affection is good, it depends on what you're attached to. Well, I ask you, how can you attach emotionally and affectionately to an agape God who says love is not an emotion? Lust is an emotion. Love is God. Now, how are you going to attach to God through your feelings and through your emotions? You can't. But you can attach to a God. You can attach to an idol. And because it satisfies your needs and you satisfy its needs, you think you've met God. I talked to a man here recently that thought just because he was feeling euphoric and felt good, he thought that he was communing with God. Alcohol will do the same thing. So will drugs, so will pizza, so will any toxin that you get. Anything that clouds your mind will make you feel better for a while. But as soon as you come down off of that, you're no better off. The reality sets in. Attached also means something else. Let me tell you something. It's a twofold thing. It starts out good. Attached means to connect by ties of affection. But attached also means to take property or a person into custody by force. See, the minute you're attached, that means you're repossessed. Now, it's a much bigger room you live in now, isn't it? But you've been repossessed. Do you see what I'm telling you? You're attached. So see, what we have here is we have a great big custody battle, don't we? God said, I have redeemed you, and you agreed. And the devil is saying, no, but I want... We're split up. Miriam and Moses hate each other. And let's get a divorce. What's the battle for? Custody of Aaron? It isn't child support. My God shall provide all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. This isn't a child support thing. God doesn't need child support. It's a custody battle. Unfortunately, some of you want visitation. Oh, I'll visit him, all right. Can I see him? Oh, yes, we can go see our dad on weekends. And here you are visiting Pop. But Mom's waiting out there. She's the custodial parent. Miriam has custody of you, and you know it. And you... First thing that happened, if you remember, is God takes you out of Egypt by killing the firstborn of Pharaoh. All your bad habits. He exposes them to you, and they die. The second thing that happens, God puts you in the wilderness so that you can depend on Him instead of Mom and Dad. So you can depend on Him instead of all the old habits, all the old appetites. And it isn't a long thing. It should take 3.5 weeks. Just so you can learn that God is going to do it all.